So good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see so many smiling, beautiful faces on our homecoming. One thing I didn't realize, now the building is not this old, but the church. And you know that the church is not the building anyway. But the church that is Mount Freedom, this is also our 25th anniversary. So not only is it homecoming, it's a 25th anniversary worship service. Because if it weren't for God and it weren't for Jesus, we wouldn't be here in the first place.
So I
want you to remember that today. That's really why we're here. It's great to see old friends and smiling faces. And we stepped up the talent level for you with Tugelo Holler. And even the message is going to come from a man of God that I've known for a little while. I think my wife's known him longer, but so I want you to sit back. I want you to have a good time, but most importantly, I want you to worship King Jesus during this time this morning. Because we're blessed to be here. We're blessed to be here. As far as announcements go, I don't really have anything that you haven't already heard, so I'm not really going to say a lot about that other than this coming Wednesday, elders, we will meet, so don't forget that. And then, of course, today there's no services tonight because we're going to be here and we're going to get full on barbecue and all the trims and we're going to want to take a long nap. Except for you guys, y'all have another engagement to go to, but maybe you can get a short nap before you go do that. So what we're going to do is I'm gonna open us in prayer this morning. Jackie's going to come and lead us in a song, and then we're going to turn it over. Jackie's going to turn it over to Tugelo Holler, and then we're just going to get on with it. How's that sound? And y'all know who we are and how we are, so make yourself at home. Leave your shoes on. Make yourself at home, though, and worship King Jesus in this place. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for today. Thank you that you have brought each of us to this place. And Lord, while it's a great day and we celebrate who we are as Mount Freedom, we want to give you all praise and honor and glory for that. Because Lord, without you in our lives, Jesus, without you in our lives, Holy Spirit, without you in our lives, then we wouldn't be here. And we know, God, that you've got more great things in store for Mount Freedom Baptist Church. So God, we thank you. We thank you that you put us in this place for this purpose, and that is to love on this community. So God, again, just be with us today. We know you're already here. Lord, just lift us, encourage us, love us in this place, and in return, we'll love you, and we'll praise you, and we'll honor you, and we'll worship you with every breath that we have. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. And it's in your mighty and holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Good morning.
Morning. Morning.
First of all, I want to know why Porkchop has a pillow on his base. Is that for a nap?
No. No, actually, helps the sale.
Yeah. No. I just mess it with it. It's good to see you this morning. 25 years. I know several are here that can remember the 25 years. I know B. Ann Frieda and myself and Gail. So it's been a long, short, fast road. just remember, you know, looking back at 25 years, you know, it's been a roller coaster ride, ups and downs, you know, and that's all churches, so. You know, but getting to be here from the beginning to the end, or till now, it's been a blessing. And yeah, there's been a lot of changes and a lot of different things took place. But you know, God's good, and Mount Freedom wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Him providing and leading the way. So we're just thankful for that this morning. Glad that you're here. Glad that you chose to be here this morning. I know the Lord is so. Hey, we're going to stand and sing this one song, and then I'm going to turn it over to Tugelo Holler. So let's stand. We all know this. before we do get started, I don't want to pass up no opportunities for praise reports. So if you have a praise report this morning, I do want you to share that. Shorty, there's one. Shorty, somebody's got a praise report.
My sister is getting stronger every day. She's still going through radiation chemotherapy.
Yeah.
She has the good days and bad days.
Yeah.
Feeling getting much better.
Good. Yeah. For those of you who don't know, Phil's been in the burn center for about a month. And he's at home now, getting better. And so be praying for him and Gail. Anything else? Well, y'all are awful quiet this morning. So before we played that song, I'll go, you know, the first words in that song was, I once was lost in sin. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm thankful this morning that I can say that, yeah, I still sin, but I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
And you know, that's a blessing for me. So, but I'm glad to be here. So,
amen.
Anybody else? That was my praise report, by the way. All right. Well, I'm going to turn it over to Tugalo Holler. And I think I know all of these fellas. I've been knowing them a long time through Cousin Store and through the bluegrass field. But hey, food, you get food down there at Wilson. So if you go down there, just feed you some, get you some food that you can cook and eat. So I'm putting in that plug for Wilson's meat. Wilson's meat processing on Highway 11 on the Richland Road. So, yeah, just go in there and get all your fresh meat from them. Hey, how good, ain't it?
Yeah.
I'll be a radio announcer.
Hey, later.
Yeah. So, turn it over to Tugalo Holler. Y'all come on and just make yourself at home.
Again for having us back. It's been a while, I think, since we were here last. We were trying to figure it out. It's been at least 4 years, we know, and probably longer than that, but
six. We're saying six.
Okay.
We changed this.
So, yeah, we're definitely glad to be here and looking forward to worshiping with y'all. And, we want it to be that. We want y'all to worship with us. And we're going to do a little tune for you now. It's an old hymn, and we kind of and shook a little bluegrass juice on it. So y'all help us out on this one and hope you'll enjoy it and sing along. One call when we all get to heaven.
We are.
Since the last time we were here, and this young gentleman over here, very, very talented young man. We're so glad to have him as part of the group, one of the newest members of the group. And he comes to us from Flowery Branch, Georgia, so he's got a little bit of a hike to get up here. We're so glad that he did decide to join the group. Multi-talented. He's a great banjo player, great guitar player, as you're about to hear, and a great dobro player as well, but he can play everything. He plays mandolin, piano. I'm sure he can play the trumpet.
My dad played the trombone.
Well, there you go. Glad to fall. Y'all please make welcome Mr. Kate Guthrie.
Thank you. Singing lead, not singing lead, singing harmony, bass, baritone, Alpha can sing lead too.
Oh, yeah.
He does a fine job. That's Mr. Dennis James. Give him a hand. We're going to do an original song, one that our fiddle player wrote. In fact, I'll go ahead and introduce him while I'm doing that and I'm thinking of it. He writes a lot of our original tunes, plays fiddle, sings lead and harmony, and a little later on you'll hear another one of his talents. I'll save that for another song. But that's Stephen Hudson on the fiddle, if you give him a hand, please. This next song is one that he wrote that we really like playing out for folks. It's called I'll Have to Give In.
Ready?
One,
two, three.
Thank you.
Song we never practice. Oh, well, okay, we've got a second request then. This is one that we played at a church years ago, and they requested that we play a bluegrass gospel children's song. And we told them, yeah, no problem, we can do that, until we started to look for a bluegrass gospel children's song and realized they don't make those. They ain't none. And, so we kind of had to come up with something, and so we borrowed the melody from Old MacDonald Had a Farm, and we got rid of Old MacDonald and the farm and kept all the animals and put them on the ark with Noah, and so it kind of turned into this. Now, Porkchop, I got to introduce him. Yeah, back here on the doghouse bass, this guy is one of the best bass players in the area, and we are just so fortunate and blessed to have him with us. Bass players are underrated. If you don't have a good bass player, that's a good way of putting it, Jackie. But this guy's rock solid and a great musician, knows all kinds of music trivia and just who played with who and when they played and where they played. Just a great guy to hang out with. Y'all please make welcome Michael Porkchop Branch back here.
That Stephen had another talent, and it goes along with this song. He is really good at making animal sounds. When we first started doing this, I maybe I was roped into it, I'm not sure. But I was the first one to do the animal sounds, and all the animals sounded like they were sick. So we asked Stephen to try it, and they sounded really good and healthy. So we stuck it with him ever since. So we'll do this for the young and the young at heart. I think the young at heart will enjoy it more than the young, to be honest with you. Jeremy, if you'll strum me a G, we'll get started with Old Man Noah. Thank you.
So we had a request for this one, and we're going to use it to close out. Hope y'all enjoy it. And sing along if you know this one as well. I'm going to do a little bit of Rank Stranger. I think we've got everybody introduced here, except did we introduce you? Well,
no, he introduced me.
You better introduce
me. I know.
No, we're good.
This young lady is, we feel like she's a lot of the reason we get invited back places. It's because she makes us look better and sound better and smell better. And just all around better. Yeah, definitely smell better. But she's just a wonderful talent, and it's a joy to get to sing on the stage with her. And been singing on the same stage for about 22 years now. So y'all please make welcome Mrs. Jessica Hudson. Just a second here, and we'll move a little bit of this out of your way in case you get to running.
Good morning. I don't know about y'all, but I've been blessed already. Especially when that fella pulled that dobro out. I like a dobro. It's good to be with you this morning. I thank you so much on your time of homecoming that you asked me to come and be a part of your service this morning. I'm very thankful. You'll notice my voice is just a little bit raspy this morning. I must have had that COVID a couple of weeks ago, and it's my wife has it now, so it hadn't been doing us very good. But anyhow, I'm excited to be here this morning. I thank you so much. I have been blessed this morning. It's been quite a while since I've had the opportunity to come and be a part of your church service, but I love this church. I love the people here, and I thank you so much again for having me to come and be a part of it this morning. I wrote my sermon this week. In the last couple of weeks, I've worked on it quite a bit. I've thought of quite a lot about things that are going on and things that are happening in our world, and I begin to think about the church a lot, and I said, you know, a lot of people are giving up. A lot of people are giving up. So I've entitled my message this morning, Never Give Up. It's about faith. It's about faith. I want to talk to you about faith this morning. If you'll turn in your Bibles this morning to 1 Peter chapter 1, that's where we'll be this morning. But I want to talk to you about faith this morning. What is faith? Let me ask you this question. Do you think all people have faith? Don't answer. Just wait till we get through and then think about it for a minute. But do all people have faith? Well, what is faith? What is faith? Many people today in the church are leaving the church. Their faith is failing them. Their faith is, they're letting it dry up. They're letting it move away. And one of the biggest things in the world today that people are moving away from the church for is what they call naturalism. Naturalism. What is naturalism? Well, there's a lot of different religions. There's a lot of people that I see a lot of times that are out there that are, they're converting, like missionaries sometimes will convert to Muslim or Islam religion. They're converting over. And our pastor, who was a missionary for quite a while at Pleasant Ridge, he told me, he's asked me on several occasions, he's come to me and he said, James, will you pray for so-and-so? I knew him. He's a missionary in a faraway country. And he's just converted over to Islam. He's converted over to this. He's give up. He's come home. Missionaries are coming home. They're giving up. But naturalism, what is naturalism? Naturalism is known by other names like atheism, atheist. Scientific materialism and secular humanism. Now you say, what is all of that? Hold on just a minute. I had to study it quite a bit in my studies here, okay? There was a man by the name of Thomas Nagel has argued that materialism cannot provide an adequate explanation of life because it cannot provide an adequate explanation of mind. Adequate explanations must imply that the phenomena that explain and not mere chance occurrences, but expected outcomes. What he's saying is when you have a person who is of a scientific materialism, these people say that everything just happened. It just happened. And he says it can't be that way. It can't just happen. Although this man is an atheist, a non-believer, and of that same sect of type of people, he says that this cannot be. But in a book that he wrote, he said in that book, and I quote, I hope there is not a God. I hope there is not a God. So this is the idea of these type of people. But people in the world today are walking away from their faith. They do not believe anymore. They do not believe that there is a God. And it's growing. Atheism is growing tremendously all over the world today. People are giving up their faith in Christ, walking away from their church, and saying that there is no God. And it is growing. It is a very growing thing. They said, I read an article where it said by the time of 2070 that the church would be a minority. The church will be a minority. Although we're at like 69% of the people in America, I use America today, believe in God. That's a big number, but that don't necessarily mean that everybody's Christian. That's a Pew survey by Pew Internationals, okay? But this morning, I want to talk to you about your faith. People are giving up. They're saying, I don't want it anymore. I don't believe in God anymore. I don't trust God anymore. And it's a very sad thing. This is very sad for our world today. Before we read our scripture this morning, let's pray together. Father, this morning, we know in our hearts, every one of us here today, we need you. We need you, Father, involved in our lives. We need you leading us. We need your security. We need everything from you. Let us place our lives in your hands always, trusting in you here. And Father, this morning as you move, as your spirit moves this morning, it'll be nothing by what I've said or nothing that I've done, Father. But we give this service to you now, that you would work in hearts of every person here this morning, and the outcome would be what you want it to be, Father, and nothing of ours. For it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now in 1 Peter, you look at it, you look down there in verse 3. Look in verse 3 just for a minute. We're going to start there and we're going to read a few verses of this, okay? Simon Peter was writing and he was encouraging people. He wanted to encourage people about their faith. And he said, blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, when you and I look at faith, we ask ourselves, what is faith? What is faith? I want to tell you about faith just for a minute. Faith is something that you have been persuaded into in your mind, okay? There are a lot of people in the world today that have faith in a lot of things. They have faith in their money. People have faith in money. They put all their faith, they put their trust. If I can just have all this amount of money, and they'll go and they'll put money in for a ticket for the lottery to try to win money through the lottery, and they'll put confidence in that. When you put that money into that lottery, you're putting faith that that might win. But they put their faith in their money. They trust in their money. When Wall Street fell, a lot of you may not remember this, but I've read a lot about when Wall Street fell, a lot of people lost a lot of money. And they literally jumped out windows and done all types of things because of this, because they had lost their money. They've lost everything that they put their faith into. A lot of people today are putting their faith in their intellect, in their thoughts, in their mind. They think, well, I'm too smart to believe in a God that I cannot see. And this is really harsh because it's not something that's happening to everybody. It's happening to our younger people, our college people. They're going to college and they're being taught all these different types of things. And they're being taught that you're too smart for this. You're too intellect. So this intellect is something that is drawing them away from faith. They're putting their confidence in the strength of their minds. A lot of people put a lot of confidence in the government. I don't know that I put a lot of confidence in our government today. I don't want to talk about the government, but I'm just telling you, there's a lot of people in the world, they trust the government to take care of them. They trust the government to see that they have what they need. I retired about 3 years ago, and I'm on Social Security now. I get my check in the mail. It's pretty nice. But I just keep waiting on getting send me that letter that says I ain't going to get it anymore. Then what am I going to do? I'm going to trust in God. He'll take care of me. I don't trust in that. Y'all know I wasn't nervous till I got here. You know that? When I got over and I sat down a while ago, I looked at all them wires up here, and I said, Lord, have mercy. I could wipe out half of this church for them wires. But anyhow, just think it. Just when we ask the question, where does faith come from? Where does faith come from? Where do we get our faith? How do we achieve within the church faith? Romans 10, 17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now that word right there, word of God, the word of God, what does that really literally mean? Okay? Now, most of the time when you look in your Bible and you see the word, like in the beginning was the word, it's the Greek word logos. Okay? Logos. And we get our word logo from it. So you see it's a written word. This is logos. This is God's written word. Okay? This is a different word here that is used when we use it in Romans. When he has used this word in Romans, he said, he said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's Rama, okay? And it is a word that means for God's spoken word, okay? It is a word when you teach Sunday school, when you witness on the street, when you share your faith and your trust in Christ with people that are lost in the world, and you use God's word and you speak the Bible to those people, that is what it's talking about. It's talking about preaching the gospel. So how does people come in faith to faith in Christ? By the hearing of the word of God, by God's word being spoken into the world. And this comes out and people hear it and then they believe. Then they believe. But the first thing we look at here this morning is this is our keeping faith. Look at our scripture this morning. It says, verse 5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. First of all, he talks about his abundant mercy. God's abundant mercy. I don't know about a lot of people in the world, but I know that God's abundant mercy. I want to tell you something. I'm one of the type of people that things get on my mind. Okay? I've laid in the bed and you know, you hear something or you'll watch a television evangelist on TV and he'll say something and then next thing you know, something's running through your mind and you're thinking, what in the world is he talking about? And I don't know how everybody feels, but this election, this idea of election, okay, of Calvinism that is going through very rampant now. A lot of people believing in it now. But I'm going to tell you something. I've studied it. I've laid awake at night and I've studied. Look at this scripture right here. It said, his abundant mercy. God's mercy is so big. It's big enough for the entire world. Okay? The Bible says in over here, over in the Peter, it says, for it is his will that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All should come to repentance. God's mercy. I don't know about you, but what Simon Peter's trying to tell you here is this is your keeping faith. This is the faith that you have is holding you. It is a faith that is, look at the scripture, incorruptible. It's incorruptible. Let me tell you something. I drive an old truck, okay? I just drive an old truck because I can work on it. And my daughters, they buy newer cars sometimes, and you know, they'll bring them cars to the house sometimes, want me to do something with them, and boy, my daughter had to change the starter out in one of her cars the other day. That made me ill, okay? They hide bolts on them things. Do you know that? But if you go buy a new car, and you pull it out here in the parking lot, boy, you're proud of that thing. That's a new car. You're excited, isn't it? Especially with the money you have to pay for them today. But you'd be really excited over a new car. And you got your new car and it's sitting out there. And you go out there and in a few days or weeks, you know, you go out and you look in your new car and you washing it and you checking it and you look up under it. What do you see one day? Rust on your new car. And then the next thing you know, you turn around, there's a skin on it. Somebody has opened the door on your new car. It'll happen every time, won't it? It'll happen every time. And it's continuously. And then all of a sudden, one day, you go out there a few years later, and the paint is coming off of it. You ain't got no, it's just fading away, and it's going away, and the paint's going, why? Why is that? Everything in this world is corruptible. It's corrupted. It goes. You cut a tree down today to make a house out of it tomorrow. You give it a few years. You do everything you can to treat it, to keep it to where it will not rot, but it eventually rots and goes and fades away. It goes away. It is corruptible. Okay? Simon Peter said, you are kept. Your soul is kept in an uncorruptible environment. God has kept you. It does not corrupt. It does not fade away. It is not undefiled. Let me tell you about defiled. My wife can tell you about that. I'm one of them type of guys, I stay outside most of the day. And I come in, and she buys these little rugs, you know. She loves rugs, okay. That's why them wires scared me so bad, because I trip over them rugs all the time at home. But my wife, she buys rugs, and she brings them in. And she fusses at me about her rugs, because I walk right across the top of them. I got to where I just fold them out of the way. I just fold them up out of the way and get them out of the way first thing in the morning so I don't walk on her rugs, because I'll get dirt on her rug and she don't like it at all. I defile her rug. You see, we as human beings are, we become defiled in the flesh, don't we? We are defiled in the flesh, but our inheritance, listen, our inheritance, what is an inheritance? It's something that you gather from your relatives or whoever it is, you graduate, something is handed down. God is handing down an uncorruptible, undefiled inheritance. It's okay. Your car, if you got a car in heaven, it won't never rust, okay? I don't think we're going to have cars up there, but it's not going to rust if you got one. It'll be good. We are kept by the power of God through faith. I want to read you a couple of scriptures here that I love. I love the book of Isaiah. I love the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah says this. He says in chapter 49, verse 16. He said, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. God says, I have graven you in the palms of my hands. And my walls are continuously around you. They are continuously, God is continuously walking. He has got a hedge of protection around us all of our lives. Okay? He's watching us. He's watching our salvation. He's watching our salvation. Isaiah 43:41-13 says, for the Lord thy God will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. I remember, as I was a little boy, my father was a big man, and he's 90 years old now, and very feeble, but I remember him when I was younger, and how that when I was just a little boy, he would take me hunting with him, and we'd go walking, and we'd cross a creek or something like that, and I can remember Daddy reaching out his hand, and he would say he's going to help me across the creek. Some of you may have been this way, and he'd reach, and I'd grab his finger right there. You know, I'd grab his finger or something, and he'd shake my hand loose. He didn't want me. He would let me have your hand. And he would take his big old hands, and he'd grab me like that, and he would pull me across the creek. I believe he could have jerked me across the Grand Canyon. But he would grab hold of me, and he would pull me across, and he wouldn't let me go. Now, God says, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. I will help thee. God is our help. He is the one that will see us through the things in our lives. He is the only one. John 10:28 says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which is give them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. There's scripture after scripture saying that God saves us. It's God's work saving us. It's God's work keeping hold of us. It's not us. It's not about whether or not we're sinners or not. It's not whether or not we don't ever sin again, or we do. We're going to. But the fact of the matter is God has saved us, and He saves us daily. God saves us daily. It's a daily progressive thing that God has begun within our lives. John 5:4 says this, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." When we trust God, the moment that we trust God, the Bible says that He, if you read into this particular scripture, He regenerates us. He regenerates us. He makes, you see, you spiritually are not alive. Your relationship with God was severed. But when you come to Christ and you come to know Christ, He regenerates us. It means He brings us to life. And that life is forever. That life is eternal. It never ends. It never stops. God saves you for all of eternity. Can we see God? No, I can't see Him. I can't show Him to you. Is He close? Yes, He's close. He's always close. He's always with you. He's always right there with you. Okay? You know, I think a lot of times that we look, and we see, if you get a moment of time, sit down and look, and I'm sure that you probably have, but just sit down and look around you. Sit down and look around you and look at all the things that go on around you. A cloud come through last night, didn't it? Do you know that was a miracle? It's a miracle. Why? You say, James, why is it a miracle? Let me tell you something. Figure it up. If you got 1 acre of land, 1 acre of land, with 1 inch of water on it, 1 inch, it rains 1 inch on 1 acre, that's 27,000 gallons. 27,000 gallons of water. Or if you got 100 acres, or 1,000 acres, or a whole mountaintop, how much rain is floating over your top of your head right there every day when the clouds come over? Look at the weight that is in it. If it were it to rain, it is a miracle. It is a miracle. So God works and performs miracles every day, and we don't even recognize it. We don't even think about it. But He's there. He's right here with us always. And He is saving you always because you're trusting in Him. Second, there is a trying faith. You know, Simon Peter talks about the trying faith here. He says here, verse 6, "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold, perisheth, though it may be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom ye have not seen, ye love, in whom though now you see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." This is talking mainly about persecution. It's talking about persecution of Christians, okay? Now, during His time, there was a lot of persecution going on. A lot of people being persecuted for their faith in Christ. Today, you say, well, we're not persecuted here in America. We're not being persecuted in America. But the more atheists we get and the more people we get that move to that side, the more so that you're going to be up against people. You're going to have a nation that is against Christianity because they don't want to hear it. They don't want you to talk about it. They don't want you to tell them about Jesus Christ. They don't want Jesus Christ. You know, I've thought many times, how is it that they can get on television and say anything about they want to about any type of religion, But if they bring up the name Jesus Christ, they shut them down. They shut them down. What is right there is more evidence for me that I'm right. He used it as an idea. They refine and purify one's faith, much as gold is refined by fire when its dross is removed. You see, you take gold and you go out and you find you some gold, okay? You get that gold and you take it and you put it in a pan or a cook stove, I guess. I don't know what they put it in. But anyhow, what they do is they take gold and they begin to heat it up and melt it down and they get it. And it'll get there and it'll roll and this little old film will get on top of it. And it's a little stuff. It's called dross. And it'll get on there and they'll take something and they'll dip that out, you see. They'll take that out of it so they only have pure gold, okay? Then when we are refined, you see, when you get through things in your life and you go through things in your life and God says, I'm refining you, I'm making you better, I'm making your faith stronger. See, when you go through it, whenever it is you go through, it makes you stronger. God is making you stronger. Like gold, we have defects in our faith. There's something. Do you ever have a little bit of a glitch in your faith sometimes? I think we all do. I think all of us sometimes in our life have a little bit of a time in our lives when we really just don't feel spiritual. We don't feel that way. We feel a little bit misled to ourselves, okay? But the thing about it, here's the thing about it. But unlike gold, which fades away, one day gold will all fade away. Our faith never will. Your faith never will. God won't let you go and just completely walk away. I don't believe that with all of my heart. If you're truly born again, God said, I take you and I hold you by the right hand and I place a hedge about you to keep you, to watch over you. And I watch you every day. God watches us. He says there's not even a bird falls from the sky that he does not see. So he watches us. He loves us. He said, how much greater are you? God loves us. When troubles first confront us, we are naturally distressed, but it is the faith that will take us far into the far reaches and to know what is one day ahead of us. You understand that as we go through life every day and we work through life, we know as a believer, you and I know as a believer what's coming one day. We know what's coming. Have you got a movie that you like to watch? A television show, movie, or, you know, something. We all have our favorite movies, don't we? I mean, you know, we got a good movie. We like to watch it. And I guess mine's kind of like Jeremiah Johnson. I don't know why. I just always liked that old movie, you know. But I'll watch it. And I'll watch it again and again. And sometimes if I'm just bored, I'll sit down and watch it. Well, now, listen. I already know the outcome. I know the whole movie. I know what's going to happen, and I know the whole outcome of what's going to happen at the end of the movie, but I'll watch it again, knowing what's going to happen at the end of the movie. You see, God has given it to us as believers, and this is the unspeakable joy that we have. It's an unspeakable joy. It's a joy that is great because we know, you and I, believers, we know that one day, what's at the end? We know what is at the end. When God, this is a temporary thing we're doing here. But one day we shall all be together and we shall see Him. We shall see Him. And then you talk about unspeakable. It's unspeakable. Even though we go through hard times, even though things are hard on us, deep down inside of you is a joy. Because you know what's coming. Right. You know the end result. We all do. A fire happened at a house. A bad fire. It was burning up. The family got out. A child was left in the upstairs room. Got out on top of the house. Was come out. A fireman went running up. Looked up and said, jump, I'll catch you. I'll catch you. The child says, no, I can't. I can't see you. The fireman said, but I can see you. I can see you jump, trust me. That's what God says. You say, I can't see you, God. People say, I can't see you. I don't know you're there. God says, but I see you. I know you're there. I'm watching you. And God sees us. We have, first of all, we have the keeping faith. We have the trying faith. And then we have the end of faith, okay? Verse 8 and 9 says, whom having not seen you love, in whom though ye see him not, yet believing, yet rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come to you, searching what and what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. We are guaranteed the crowning fulfillment of our faith. It's guaranteed. God guarantees it. Now, when you talk about the faith, and we go back into the Old Testament times, the Old Testament people were saved by faith. They were saved by faith. And because they trusted God. But they looked in. They were curious about the salvation that has come to you and I. They couldn't understand it. They couldn't grasp it. Even though they wrote about it, by God's Spirit, they wrote about the salvation that was to come, but they didn't get to experience it like you and I do. At present, we've received only the title to it and its down payment. Salvation is already present in your life. You are eternal. You are eternal. The day you are saved, you are eternal. God saves your soul. The body is not, but it one day will be. It'll get a new one. We get a new body. And this is something that we have to think about. The immortal soul was lost at the fall. So salvation primarily comes to the soul at the coming of Christ. The body too will share the redemption, but the soul is saved now. You see, God does miracle work and he saves us. And he saves us and he saves our soul. Our soul is sealed, the Bible says. He has sealed us with the Holy Spirit. He has given you the Holy Spirit to seal you, to help you, to walk with you, to teach you, to do all the things that you need to learn. But one day we shall all get together, we shall all be together, and we shall all be an eternal being. We have a new body, a new life, a whole new thing. We're going to heaven and we're going to be there for all of eternity. All of eternity. And what we have now, it will pass, okay? We talk about God and we talk about faith and we talk about a lot of things in Scripture. And we talk about how do you get faith. And there's the big argument about do I give my life to Christ? I want to tell you something. There's another Scripture in Isaiah. And I love this Scripture here. And it says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though thy sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be like red crimson, they shall be as wool. God says, come, let's reason together. God is always there. He's waiting on you to come to him. If your faith is a little weak, if your faith is just not what you feel it should be, God says, come and talk to me. Prayer is an essential thing to the believer. Prayer. You find that you have got to pray continuously. And you ask God, and don't be afraid to ask God questions that you can't. He can answer those. He will show you. He says, come and let's reason together. And I will cleanse you and I will keep you. I will hold you by your right hand. I have engraven you in the palms of my hands, and I place my wall around you to protect you. God does these things. John 3 says, in the book of John 3, there's a man by the name of Nicodemus, and he came to John, to Jesus, and he said, "How shall I inherit eternal life?" And Jesus told him, said, "First, you must be born again. You must be born again." Being born again is where we place our faith in Jesus Christ. We trust in all that he has done, his death on the cross, his resurrection, and all that he did. He died for our sins, and we put all of our faith and our trust in that. You see, a believer takes his entire world, everything about us, and we place it in the center of God's world. And we place it in the center of God's world. So he is surrounding us with his world. And the more, you can't do it out on the edge. You've got to be in the center of God's world. That's what he wants us to do. That's where God wants us. He wants us to trust in him. Don't trust in the world. Trust in God. Trust in Christ. Because he will save you. But Nicodemus, he wanted to be saved. He said, "How do I be saved? How can I be saved again? For I'm old. Shall I enter again into my mother's womb?" And he said, "No." He said, "First you must be born of the water, which is your natural birth. Then you must be born of the Spirit." You see, your soul, your body, your spirit, they are all one together. It's all one. And they have to work in harmony. And faith is what brings harmony to you. You can't be one place with your body and another with your soul and another with your spirit. But this makes you up. You are made up. You have a spiritual being. You have a soul which is eternal. When God regenerates your soul, it becomes eternal. And that's being born again. You can only do that by faith in Christ. Let me ask you a question this morning. Where is your faith this morning? Where is your trust this morning? Even in hard times, God is there. He's there. And he wants you to trust him. He wants you to trust him. Do you trust him? Have you been born again? Think about it just for a moment. Can you look back in your life? Can you remember a time when you gave your life to Jesus Christ? When he saved you? Are you changed? Are you different? Are you a different person? I'm going to ask you to, I guess we have a musician, we'll have a song, and make your decisions. If your faith is weak today, God wants to make you strong. He wants to get you through. Come to him and let him and reason with him. This is your open invitation this morning. I'm going to let you come. These altars for prayer. If you feel like you want to pray and you want to talk to God, you do that. If you want to talk to me, I'll talk to your pastors over here. I know that he will talk with you, either one. So I'm going to just stand at the front right here, and you make your decisions this morning. If God is speaking to you in some way, and you do that. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll sing. Father, we thank you so much, God, for the faith that you give us. You give us faith so we can trust you. Faith cometh by hearing and by your word. And Father, this morning I pray you put faith in your people. I pray you heal this people. I pray you work among these people, God. You give them strength to go every day. God, I ask that from you this morning. And God, I ask you for one that might need to make a decision this morning, whoever it may be, that they would decide today for you. We thank you for what you'll do. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Will you rise, please?
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot,
going to ask you to be seated just for a minute. One of the guys that has come and filled in the pulpit on a couple of occasions, Mr. Julian, y'all remember him, Elrod? Chad was just telling me that he put his mother in hospice care yesterday. So y'all know how I do those things. I like to have somebody sit in and pray. She's a believer. So guess what? It's well with her soul.
Amen.
It's well with her soul. We'll let Chad sit. We're not going to gather since there's so many. But what I'm going to ask you to do is just put your hands out. I'm going to pray for that family. I got word as well this morning. Some of you probably know him. I remember him from school, but I had heard this past week that Keith Crane had passed. So we were asked to pray for that family as well. So we're going to do that as well here this time. So if you would, just hold your hands out. Again, that's just a symbol of agreement. And we're going to pray for these families. And Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, for your love, your mercy, your grace. Lord, we thank you that you made a way to save us. So God, as we pray right now, we pray for these families. Lord, we know that what they're going through. But we've been reminded this morning that even though we go through those things here on earth, it's just temporary. We have a hope of what's coming. So God, I pray that for those families, you will remind them of that blessing. Remind them in this moment of that hope. Remind them, Father, that you are God. And that you are on the throne. And that one day, they'll get to see those family members again. So God, I do pray, as we've already prayed this morning, that you'll walk with those families in such a way that they know that you, God, have got them by the right hand.
Amen.
Every step of the way. So God, we love you this morning. We thank you that you are who you are and what that means for us. God, we pray all these things in your mighty and holy name. Church, together we sing.
Amen.
Amen. Right, so I'm going to give you a little bit of instructions as well. I think our musicians are going to play a few songs to give us time to get set up to serve. Once we're ready to serve, I'm going to let our guests go first, and then those with small children, and then the rest of you can fight it out after that. All right? But I'm going to go ahead and pray again to bless everything. And once you play that second song, then I'm going to turn y'all up.
Everybody run for the border.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, again, let's pray one more time. We'll bless the food. Father, we thank you again for today. Thank you for just the blessing of having Food Little Holland, the blessing of the word that you brought through our brother James. Lord, we thank you for the meal that's been provided and prepared. Lord, may you bless those that made that happen. And may you bless that meal, Lord, and use it to strengthen us, not for our own purposes, but for your purposes. And may we go into this world, Lord, and serve you by serving others and loving them. We love you, Father. We thank you again for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Brother John.
Jessica to sing this one last song for you. And it has been a pleasure again to get to come and join y'all with this homecoming service. And we look forward to maybe another time we'll get to come back and worship with you as well. Appreciate that message as well this morning. This is one called The Man in the Middle.